The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber, live from Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. Coming off a losing week, futures in the red. The Shanghai lockdown gets extended. Got the 10-year yield near 2.75, up seven straight sessions, and oil below 94 ahead of CPI tomorrow. Our roadmap begins with another day, another headline from Elon Musk. This time he is deciding not to join Twitter's board.
Plus, we do have a new era beginning as Discovery closes that deal. It is now Warner Media or Warner Brothers Discovery, and it will begin trading today on the NASDAQ. We'll talk about that, as well as shares of China-based EV maker NIO, which are getting slammed this after the company hiked prices and suspended production.
Let us start with Elon Musk. He will now not be joining Twitter's board. CEO Parag Agrawal made that announcement late last night. In a statement, Agrawal writes in part, "I believe this is for the best. We have and will always value input from our shareholders, whether they're on our board or not. Elon is our biggest shareholder, and we will remain open to his input. There will be distractions ahead, but our goals and priorities remain unchanged. The decisions we make and how we execute is in our hands, no one else's." Meantime, Musk tweeting a number of ideas over the weekend about how he wanted to change the social media company, which have since been deleted. He also suggested to a large degree that they turn the headquarters into a homeless shelter because, quote, no one shows up anyway. Amazon's Jeff Bezos responded, said it was a great idea, shares the story of a similar initiative at Amazon. I believe that's one of the tweets that he did delete.
Yeah, look, I think that there is a kind of discordant message because one of the things that was very positive, see, talking about basically a premium sector where you're automatically logged in, what I thought what that really meant was that maybe you could avoid the opprobrium. Maybe there's a way to be able to contain it. David, he is certainly able to complain and do things more outside than inside.
He is, and this has raised a lot of questions as to what his ultimate intentions will be. Clearly, the only thing he was really hemmed in by as joining the board was the 14.9% cap on his ownership. That no longer applies. And so this morning, there was a great deal of conversation, as you might expect, as well. Does this free him up to buy more, to exceed that? What are his plans? At this point, very hard to know. There is a new 13D that was just filed on time. Obviously, given the change here in terms of his relationship, so to speak, and the fact that he's not going to be on the board. But frankly, not much that we're going to learn from this D. It is fairly broad in its in what it's saying, which is that from time to time, the reporting person, as Mr. Musk, will or could acquire additional shares of common stock and or retain and or sell in the open market or in privately negotiated transactions. Also might distribute the common stock as well to other entities, and it will be dependent on the reporting person's evaluation of numerous factors, including, among other things, the price of the common stock, general market and economic conditions, evaluation of the issuer's business, financial condition, and so on. So we're not learning much there. That's pretty boilerplate
stuff.
That's
boilerplate. Yeah. But the fact is, David, let's say he wanted to sell. Mm-hmm. The stock's down, so he won't get hit with a short swing, right? So I don't know where he started buying, but whatever.
He started buying it a lot lower. As
okay, then he'd be hit by short
swing. We do know he started buying it a lot lower because he failed to file a D when he should have, which would have been the 24th of March, 10 days after he actually crossed 5%. So, you know, once the market learned about this, right, the stock went up dramatically, in part because the idea was, well, what are his ultimate intentions? His being on the board, perhaps seen as a real positive in terms of pushing even more change at the company. Why did he delete those tweets?
Well, you're asking about a person who doesn't think like you and me. When you see the homeless shelter, I mean, obviously, he suggested, and then Bezos is actually doing it. I'm not so sure whether, initially I thought it was in jest, but obviously not. What does matter to me.
But there were other tweets, too, that
right.
he deleted as well. And
no,
clearly you deleted them for a reason in some way that.
Well, one was about whether we should remove the W from the word Twitter.
Yeah. Right.
The choices were yes and of course.
Well, these would be things that, let's say, a regular person were to put in. We might suspect that perhaps that person was not at that moment fully possessed of faculties.
Well, some believe he was looking for a distraction to the China vehicle sales and obviously Shanghai disruption to Tesla, which is down 4% pre-market.
Wow. Holy cow. That is one concern in China. There's others, I think, David, that you would say are humanitarian and certainly troublesome. We have a humanitarian food crisis in Ukraine, and we have a manufactured food crisis in China.
You mean people who are locked in and just not
right.
able to get a hold of the basics?
Think about that.
Some crazy images and sound. I don't know if you saw the video of all the people screaming from their buildings.
Well, when my daughter was in Madrid and they had the lockdown, you had to stay in your house for 5 days, and the fines were unbelievable if you broke it. Fines, though. They weren't putting you in jail. And a policeman took you to the supermarket once every 5 days. That was a very strict lockdown. Considering the most strict lockdown in Europe, this kind of lockdown is criminalized. It's a criminalized lockdown. And I think that that one of the things that Eunice, you suggested was that there was some dissent among some epidemiologists that said things and then were taken down. So this is a Xi lockdown. And I've got to tell you, I think there'll be people. I know he's supposed to be president for life. This is not what you want when you're kind of up for election in November among these shadow people who get to judge him. This is very bad lockdown. And I don't know why we don't talk about how their inferior vaccines are causing this. And what we like humanitarian, give them some vaccines if they do humanitarian help for Ukraine. But we don't seem to play geopolitics the way I would have thought we would.
I assume you attribute the decline in crude today to Shanghai.
Yes.
And not any kind of reserve release.
No, but I think that they should stop the reserve release for now. But I think you buy crude. I think you buy the stocks because this is artificial. And I'm not sure when the lockdown ends, and I'm not sure when we stop putting out the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. But, David, I mean, you know that there's tremendous travel demand in this country. Our country is out of lockdown, 100% out of lockdown from what I can tell. So these prices are artificially down versus what I think they do.
Really? You think?
Yes.
Okay.
I think we are not pumping a lot, and I think that there's tremendous activity in our country and that I don't think they fall to 80. It would be incredible. It would be like we were in lockdown. I think that this is an opportunity for people at home to recognize that the oil companies have changed the way they distribute profits. Remember, Biden chastised them last week for taking the money and giving it back to shareholders. But that's what they do. So please take advantage of this if you think that, like I do, that our country's the consumer isn't strong. I have Matt Boss on tonight from J.P. Morgan. The consumer's very strong in our country. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, what do you make of the chip stocks? In particular, I mean, again, perhaps in reaction to what's going on in China to some extent. Even though that's been front and center for weeks, the market seems to be focusing on it a lot more right now. And you got some downgrades of NVIDIA
I think that they're looking for reasons. The main reason is bonds. It is all these high, these are all high multiple stocks, with the exception of Intel. And people just know to sell these stocks. You need to have companies that make things, sell things, that sell them at a profit, return capital to shareholders, and don't have high PEs. And David, if they have high PEs, no. And Broadcom's being propped up by the tremendous yield, but nothing's tremendous when I look at where long rates are going. And remember, it's the 30-year soon that we're going to be focused on. Remember the 20-year. Now we got to focus on the 30-year because that's what the Fed has, a lot of 30-year paper.
Although this bear downgrade of NVIDIA that David mentions, it's not a valuation call. It's about order cancellations in the consumer GPU.
Yeah, but then they, I mean, that was a very interesting and perhaps specious downgrade to some degree. I mean, talk about how Russia is very important. Well, no, Russia is not important. And then they, after they say that they're downgraded, they say the fundamentals are intact. Well, if they're intact, why are you downgrading it? And I think the answer is because you want to get ahead of other people who are downgrading it. Because it, there is a level of fear. Like, they're talking about order cancellations of Ethereum. Now, the only kinds of chips that go into Ethereum are ones that get thrown away because they don't fit into gaming. This is a fear downgrade. David, it's a fear downgrade. Okay. People are want to get out ahead of other people. Remember, you don't have to run faster than the bear. You just have to run faster than the other people.
Right, I understand. So what changes this dynamic, though?
If rates stop going up every day, it's a rate play.
This is a rate.
These are long-dated assets. Remember that class?
Mm-hmm. I was an English major, but sure.
English major.
Right. Middle March.
Yeah.
Moby Dick?
Sure. Loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Did you read any Conrad?
Yeah. Heart of Darkness, obviously.
All right. You know,
some of the others, yeah.
I got Lord David over here. Well, it's good to know.
Yeah.
It's great. Can we talk about stocks now?
Listen, I've been doing it for 35 years. Why stop now? But
let's take a Snowflake. That's the highest valued stock in this marketplace, the highest price to sales. That is one that is going to do, the stock is going to do badly and the company's going to do well because that's a high multiple. The high multiple stocks are all for sale.
What if the Chinese just give in and say, all right, we're going to stop this? Nobody's dying. We've got all these asymptomatic cases, and we're no more lockdown.
But 55 million people have not been vaccinated, according to Dr. Gottlieb.
Although, interestingly, the statistics that they seem to be sharing indicate that very few people are getting overly sick.
I know. I don't know why. Okay, so let's say Omicron. We have people every day who come down with Omicron. And it's always like news where it's like page six,
yeah.
Omicron. I mean, I totally understand.
The next one is BA.
BA2. Yes.
BA2.
BA2.
Matthew
well.
Broderick, Mayor Adams.
Mayor Adams.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
He was right there.
Speaker Pelosi.
Speaker Pelosi,
yeah.
That's right.
Well, I mean, just saying that why in this country are we game one with Omicron? And in China, they are afraid to give
it
to
know.
Each other.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know why we have anything at all. I mean, everybody seems
so just,
to be thankfully
know, that's your
being
answer?
Fine. Yeah,
you're
that's
on
my
TV.
Answer.
You never say, I don't know. How about, like, posit
that's
something?
That's the difference between the two of us. Either I say, I don't know, or I don't speak. Never stops you.
Never in doubt.
That's right. When we come back, Discovery closing its deal with Warner Media. As David said, the new company, Warner Brothers Discovery, begins trading today at the NASDAQ, WBD. We'll look at the new era ahead for the media giant. Take another look here at the pre-market. As we mentioned, 10-year near actually got to 276 so far this morning. It's seven straight days up on the yield. We'll be right back.
Wouldn't it be great to have all your investment and retirement accounts in one place? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, makes it easy. I use it to put my investment account and 401k accounts into one hub and get expert tips that help me confidently manage my money. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or are looking for that extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. Securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
All right, today's the day. We've been talking a lot about it. I think the new symbol is what? WBD, is
yep.
that right? Yeah,
Warner
WBD,
Brothers.
Warner Brothers Discovery. And by the way, AT&T also. We're going to keep an eye on both the companies there and see how they perform. Of course, the key question we've been asking with Warner Brothers Discovery is, you know, you distributed almost 1.7 billion new shares to AT&T shareholders. So what happens? How many of them say, I don't want this, and sell it, and therefore there's a lot of selling pressure? that has been talked to death at this point, that, you know, perhaps it won't actually see that much of an impact. And by the way, they got a lot of positive calls this
Many
morning,
positive. Really good
I got upgrades from, I think it's Deutsche,
Atlantic.
Evercore ISI, Atlantic, all kind of coming out with positive comments on the fortunes for this new company, right, which will be the number three streamer. Starts its life, so to speak, with what, over 100 million homes, or 100 million, I should say, customers. And there's a look at AT&T, because Stankey talked to the Journal, talking about what they're going to be looking for and focused on as a wireless slash wireline company. Don't forget, they are putting a lot of new fiber in the ground at AT&T
right.
as well.
They still have a lot of copper there, David.
Yeah. As for Warner Discovery, there's a look at some of the analyst calls this morning. Listen, 100 million homes, third largest streamer at this point, going to do what, $8 to $9 billion in cash flow, looking for at least $3 billion in synergies. Expectations are it will be able to deliver perhaps far more than that, similar to the way that Zaslav delivered on the Scripps deal when they acquired that, put a number out there, and then exceeded that number. That gives you a sense as to all of the different brands that are under the umbrella now. Of course, news and sports is what perhaps also Jim and Carl distinguishes this as a potential bundle of programming from the Netflix
right.
of the world.
Well, look, they're talking about $3 billion in synergies. They're going to need every penny because it's five times EBITDA. This is very
leveraged.
Very
levered. They say they're starting closer to 4.5.
Yeah, but levered. Okay, levered
right.
company.
And by the way, the linear cable network business is not going up.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because in that very informative piece by Moffitt, what they talked about is that Linear is the slowdown of linear may be less than we're worried about.
Right.
And so you end up with one of these situations. I really want to be clear about this. It is going to be determined by how much stock is sold. And you're right, David, that everyone should know it. But I think that you're going to be surprised at how many people did not know they owned this because the AT&T shareholder base was so ingrained that they may know that they just got this.
Yeah.
So it could last a little longer.
And there are income funds that are going to get it as well, perhaps spending 200 million shares that will sell that. This doesn't have a dividend. It's
right.
not an income play in any way. Index fund to index fund probably shakes out as an even because some will have to buy it while others have to sell
right.
it. But we'll keep an eye on that. But then, Jim, the multiple's fallen. It's about 8 times. It's well below the multiples of Disney, for example, and certainly of Netflix, and it wants to be seen as a key competitor there.
Look, one of the things that they wanted to get visible was HBO Max. And I think all of us know that HBO Max is part of, it's one of the routines. Now, there are a lot of people worried, Carl, about whether we are overwhelmed with these direct to consumer, but HBO Max has a lot of cachet. And I think that that's the real jewel, and that's what we have to watch.
Not a mystery that Zaslav kept Casey Bloys to help run HBO. And I think the part of the Moffitt note says that to the degree that there will be upside potentials within the company, it's going to come from DTC.
Yeah, but I'm excited about that. David, what is CNN to them?
You know,
distraction.
I think that's a great question. I don't know the answer. How they're going to view it, because I think there is one case that says news is going to be an important way for them to distinguish the product if they want to actually include the subscription to CNN Plus as part of your overall direct-to-consumer relationship with this company. At the same time, CNN does punch above its weight in distraction level possibilities. And not to mention CNN Plus. My understanding is they could be spending as much as $450 to $500 million this year on that service.
A lot of people feel that is a bust. That's way too soon, I think, to decide.
Way too soon. But if you are Zaslav looking to deliver on those synergies and you see that pile of money being spent,
well,
it may be hard to resist saying, whoa.
All right, David, can you help us recognize David Zaslav, for those of us who know him, incredibly nice man. I read all this stuff about what a hatchet man he is. That's just not the way I know him. Is that wrong?
He's the best. Come on.
No, Jeff Bukas is the best.
No, well, he's retired.
Right.
He's retired.
But you at least agree with me that
Iger's retired. So,
Zaslav,
you know,
does not stab you in the back or in the face.
No. Listen, he's got to execute, and he's got some time to do it. But don't forget, this is not a controlled company any longer, Discovery.
Oh, you mean someone, if he fails, might be interested in buying?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of control, we're going to get to Shopify split and the reasonings behind that. Got some calls on Wells today, AXP, Match, and a bunch of others. We'll get Cramer's Mad Dash, and we'll count down to the opening bell. Don't go away.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
Yeah. You know you need protein to fuel results, but it's not easy when you're drinking the same bland, chalky shake every day. Stop punishing yourself and get to GNC for the best protein in the game, including all the hottest brands and crave-worthy flavors that'll keep you coming back for more. We're talking protein that legit tastes like cookies, your favorite cereals, indulgent desserts, and more. So bust out of your protein rut and actually look forward to those shakes with unbeatable protein at unbeatable prices. Fuel your fitness with protein at GNC. Yeah.
All right, let's do it. First Mad Dash of the week, of course. We're also getting close to the opening of trading for the week as well. I love EVTOL is what they go by. Joby, Archer, there's another one out there as well.
EVTL. Now, I'm bringing this up not because I care that much about Joby, which is a company that is flying car. Deutsche Bank has a piece talking about Joby leading, but Archer not far behind. But you know what, David? What I liked about this was a recognition that it's niche. So those who are saying, you know what, I want to be in Joby. And by the way, this has been a favorite of Kathy Wood. Basically, you know, guys, you may want to be interested in it, third dimension in the sky. But let's not forget, this is just not important. And I feel that a lot of stocks that have come public are not important. That's a strange way to put them.
Yeah.
But they're not. It's like the rent and runway is not important.
It may not be until the day it comes that I can take one of these for $100 to JFK to get on my flight and be there in 20 minutes.
Why can't you take Blade?
I don't
right
know.
Now?
It's a lot more, you know, maybe.
Oh, this is not less exciting?
Yeah, less
but,
like,
but you
expensive.
Know what I mean. I'm just saying that there's a whole class of companies that came public that have really hurt people.
Well, these came public through SPACs.
Right.
Obviously, Joby and Archer both. Came public.
I just want people to
we
be
kid
careful.
About flying cars, but they are electric flying.
Well, remember, there was
eventually
that period.
They're going to be autonomous
there,
as well.
Right, but there was that period, David, where everybody could come public.
Right.
I mean, for just Traeger came public and Weber.
Well, let's go back a little bit. Can we do that? Because, I mean, it
I'm
shows
sure
you where this
back.
Thing was, you know.
I mentioned Traeger and Weber because those were not SPACs. So,
there we go.
All right.
Yeah.
Great company. But, you know, think about, like, Kind, okay? You know, the Sarah Fryer stock. I
mean, yeah.
Just next door. I mean, they just crushed people. Wheels up, David. You could take a wheels up to go, I don't know, but is anyone rich? Enough. By the way, I was at a wedding this weekend. It was all PJ. The whole thing was PJ.
Private jets.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. It's quite a wedding.
I felt like I was in a plane and I said, God.
You were the poorest guy there.
I know I was.
You were.
I was the poorest person at the wedding.
All right, we got an opening bell, by the way. And remember, you know, you want to relive this, these incredible moments. Catch us anytime, anywhere, because we're a podcast. It's Walk on the Street, Opening Bell Podcast. In fact, we're back after this.
I think we can reduce that excess demand relative to supply without pushing the economy into a recession. So I'm pretty optimistic we can do this. It'll be challenging, but I think we can do it.
So you think Goldman Sachs and Bank of America and Deutsche Bank are wrong when they talk about an increased risk of recession?
No, I think that certainly if you look at the risk, given what's happening in the world and the economy, there is an increased risk. But I remain optimistic, and certainly my modal forecast of what's going to happen this year is that the expansion will continue.
That's Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester on Face the Nation yesterday saying that she does think inflation will remain elevated through 23, but that the trajectory is going to fall.
I thought that was terrific versus what I feared. She has a Thursday speech. I hope she doesn't deviate from it because it's right for Good Friday. David Costin last night in his always well thought at piece on, I did not feel at all that he's seeking recession. from Goldman Sachs. What I did feel, though, is he's worried about estimate revisions down, which means it could be a very tough earnings season if you just kind of are not prepped for what could await us. Now, I have to tell you, I see many companies that could have upside revisions, including the banks, because the rates are so high now and short. That's how they make big money, which is why I thought that Citi's upgrade of Wells Fargo was so significant. It's a position I trust, and I've been saying wait till the rates go up to get really excited. They're going.
Yep. I mean, the way yields have risen and bank stocks haven't responded is no bueno, as B of A said last week. We'll see if that changes. There's the opening bell and the CNBC real-time exchange. At the big board, it's advertising and insurance company Boston Omaha celebrating its listing at the NASDAQ. Health and beauty company Amyris doing the honors. Yeah, the Wells Citi does take it to overweight. They actually suggest a pair of overweight Wells short UBS.
I thought that was amazing and gratuitous because look, just buy the Wells. I mean, I don't want to short anything that's a bank here because I think that, unless it's a trust bank, that it's they're the first to report, and they could shock. They're down so much. David, did you see J.P. Morgan of late?
Yes, I have.
I mean, come on.
Come on what?
Well, it's fairly low.
It's down 16% this year. It's never recovered from that quarterly earnings.
No.
And the worries
about
spending.
And, you know, Goldman Sachs could have a very good quarter, but remember, there were no capital markets this quarter, and that's what I think. Remember you talked about how the Discovery, I thought that was a really brilliant analogy. When everybody knows it tends not to go down nearly as much, is there anyone who thinks that these banks are doing well? No.
No.
So it therefore is kind of intriguing to me to get into a group that is not unlike in 1990 to 1992 when Fed Chief Greenspan said, you know what, we got to recapitalize the banks. Let's raise the short-term rates. And then the numbers, Carl, were like incredible how much money they made. So look out. The big deposit institutions could be the surprise of the quarter. So then we have the consumer staple. We've got the banks. We have the oils, some of the industrials versus tech.
Yeah.
Versus tech.
Well, to your point about the overall earnings season, today B of A says it could be the last big beat for a while. They're looking for 4% upside, but it's the year guidance that's going to be tough. And they think could result in some broad-based downward revisions.
Well, as Costin said, they got to talk about geopolitical. What most they got to talk about supply chain. Raw costs are definitely a problem. Hiring is a problem. David, I also want to posit something else to you that's a little positive here. I had paychecks on Marty Busey.
Yeah.
Brian Sullivan had this small business roundtable person who runs it. The number of businesses that are started, that people have left companies, maybe go into new states, and start new businesses, not being factored enough into what happened to people not being able to find employees. There's been a liberation because of this period, that a recognition that you don't have to be, you can break your shackles because you got a little extra money from the Fed. You can move to these cities. I mean, I was down in Florida. I can't tell you how many people I bumped into. I'd say half a dozen executives who all said the same thing. What are you still doing in New York? How would you like to cut your how much money you make? And it's like, well, I have a show. I mean, I don't think I.
We'll be the last men standing or sitting for that matter. Right.
Do you agree with my thesis that there's just that maybe it's not the great resignation. Maybe it's the great entrepreneurial.
It's the great flexibility.
Of which Shopify is crucial to that. And then there's a Shopify change. Both good and bad, I think, a 10 for one, but then a curious, David, increase in ownership stake by the founder.
Yeah.
Can you help me there?
No, I can't really.
Jeez.
They say is going to support long-term growth or continued long-term growth, Jim. But it is odd, as you said,
curious.
10 for one split of the shares as well.
Stock would be up big if it weren't for
And it does. This does preserve the founder's voting power, and which conceivably, I guess, you'd want to do when you do a split like that. But
it goes from 34 to 40.
I thought it was curious. I mean, the whole point of Shopify is kind of like a rigorous independence. We get the younger state going.
Listen, you're right. You usually don't want to see these things go in that direction. You want to see less control, less voting control. It becomes a very potentially important. Obviously, an activist could then come in or change can happen. You can replace board members. In this case, they say Well, it's going to modernize their governance and allow them to remain mission-driven and merchant-obsessed while sustaining innovative culture.
I found it.
And strengthen the foundation for long-term stewardship by Mr. Do you not pronounce his last name?
Lutke.
A proven leader who's delivered significant shareholder value. Of course, we never hear from him. We only
hear from Harley Finkelstein. That's one of the rings I don't like. You know, Carl, I should point out, healthcare has been extraordinary. And, you know, we can focus on tech over and over and over again. And I think we do focus on tech over and over because of the market caps of these big cap companies. But we're seeing a change to the way it used to be, where you had healthcare be really, really important, banks be really, really important, and tech. So now we see tech, and it's clearly in a bear market. But you know, has anyone watched the drug stocks? They've been amazing. And by the way, there's a big battleground today about housing, whether we're seeing maybe the peak. And if it's not time to, I mean, Goldman's saying good things about Fortune Brands, some of these companies that go into housing. But you look at J&J. I mean, darn it, that stock's up every day. Pfizer, because there's a recognition that they've got a vaccine. Well, no kidding, David.
Also
no kidding.
Stealing the CFO from Lowe's.
Wasn't that something?
David Denton's going to start May 2nd. CFO of Pfizer.
I know. Really good. Look, I happen to think these are all very cheap. Pfizer sells a very low multiple. So you're dealing. Now, J&J's breaking up, and that's terrific. And these companies, you know, Amgen is up huge. Regeneron's up huge. But all we do is we focus on, like, the seventh-tier semi. And I'm thinking that we are wrong. And what we should really be focusing on is the amazing recovery in pharma and healthcare.
If you are of the view that rates are topping, which I think you're
saying, I am.
Wouldn't these names be vulnerable as a result?
Theoretically, yes. But there's enough people who genuinely believe that over the next two quarters, these are the guys who won't have to cut numbers. And by the way, can I just say, these companies are so good. They're not, you know, they're expensive. Some are expensive now, but you're not Pfizer. But I look at, David,
yes.
When you look at like a Moderna, remember Moderna was like twice as, I mean, these things just got crushed.
Yeah, Moderna almost had a market cap equal to that of Merck. Now, Merck is actually up 16% this year.
And for what?
And Moderna is down
for what, David?
40%.
But why is Merck up? Because it's a pharmaceutical. There's nothing really clever happening in Merck. How about Bristol Myers? Have you seen that go from 66 to 76? Not a single word out of Bristol Myers.
Right.
What do you think?
It's what you're talking about. It's movements in the market as a result of the move up in rates and the desire to own these names.
You threw me a bone.
Yeah, I threw you a
bone. You threw me a milk bone.
But I'm going to come back at you. I'm going to come back at you on the banks, because there is one area that every time we see a private equity deal of late, it appears the banks are missing from that part of the press release that describes the financing.
Comma Bravo?
And I mentioned it this morning because we have two deals, somewhat similar. Dotto is being acquired by Kaseya for $6.2 billion, and SailPoint is being acquired by Thoma Bravo for $6.9 billion. They're in similar industries,
too. Yeah, SailPoint's like a poor man's Okta.
Okay, poor man's Okta, if you want to call it that. But identity security, which they say is the core to cybersecurity, and businesses have realized that to fuel business growth and success, they have to start with identity. But what's interesting here is, let me read to you the financiers of this SailPoint LBO. By the way, it does come with the Thoma Bravo deal.
You want to guess? How about Jefferies?
It's got a ghost shop, as we often see with these. Who's financing it? Of course, I wrote this down. Do we have that anywhere? It is, where is it? Here it is. Golub Capital, Blackstone Credit, and Owl Rock Capital.
There we go.
All right, they're the ones financing. By the way, the overall price there is $65.25 a share in cash. That is what they say was a 48% premium to the 90-day volume-weighted average price. As for that Dotto deal, the financiers there, Golub Capital, Blackstone Credit, Ares Management, Owl Rock, Oak Hill, Carlyle, all financing it. What's missing? The banks. The banks, Jim. This is a very profitable area for them.
That.
Financing leverage buyouts, financing go private transactions. It usually comes along with significant fee generation and profitability. So banks are not winning this business as often any longer. These private credit funds, which have raised an enormous amount of money and can offer yields of 4 or 5%, let's say, to their LPs, have really stepped up to compete. And it's something I pointed out before. It was in the Stamps.com deal that we really got a sense on this, but it's now happening every deal. So that's $12 billion of deals today being financed by private credit, no banks in sight.
Well, I mean, like Goldman, what are they saying?
I don't know. I'm not sure what they're saying.
Well, certainly doesn't help the quarter.
No.
Well, it's Newport.
And guys, I did want to also hit a special situation. U.S. Foods, I've been kind of following it a bit. There's been a battle here between a hedge fund called Sachem Head, run by a guy named Scott Ferguson, and that management. They've been back and forth on a settlement. He's been trying to potentially actually replace a majority of the directors. There's a timeline, a proxy out from U.S. Foods, and in it they go on the back and forth in terms of the very recent conversations they've had with Mr. Ferguson. He reiterated on March 30th that the company, in his opinion, had three options. Sell it to private equity by the end of the year. In the event that a sale of the company is not pursued, begin an immediate search for a new CEO. Or if it decides to not pursue those options, then he wanted control through a majority of the seats on the board. As you might expect, the company was not that interested in those. But they did offer this, and I think it's worth noting. The formation of a five-member committee charged with the evaluation of avenues to create shareholder value, which would include both of the Sachem Head directors that are there. And so they haven't come to a settlement. There doesn't appear to be any potential sale as of yet for U.S. Foods in prospect, but it was worth mentioning, I thought, Jim, that that they are at least willing to explore strategic alternatives.
Just point out the really only two companies in that business. There's
them and Cisco.
And Cisco has been a remarkable performer. And by the way, this Hurricane who runs it is really fantastic. So, yeah, U.S. Foods has been left behind by Cisco.
Jim, airlines not doing too badly. I think it was MKM with a pretty good update of all the negative commentary we've heard about the space last couple of weeks. They actually raised JetBlue from a sell to neutral.
That was very important.
Fair value 13.
Well, they're talking about, I mean, they're kind of presuming that the deal gets done to some degree, but look, I keep coming back to the strength of the consumer. The consumer's traveling, and it's not just anecdotal, because I'm sure you've been on flights and say this extremely full flight. But there, I know that Andrew was very upset this morning about some routes being cut back after being these companies being financed by the public. But I've never really been that vociferous in saying that you should buy the airlines. But wow, they're very inexpensive if you believe the travel story. And I remember when Gary Kelly, former CEO of Southwest, said if there's a place to go, then we'll start traveling. Well, there are many places. This country's open.
Yep. Brings to mind a couple notes from B of A today. One's on Disney from Jessica Ehrlich. The other's on our parent, Comcast, referencing leverage in theme parks. I think Orlando, the airport, MCO, has cracked into the top 10 in this country.
Wow. Well, I know that our theme, partly get our meaning, we work for Comcast, theme parks, David, very rarely get the attention of others, and yet they're jammed.
Yeah,
they're jammed.
Theme parks are a very important component, obviously, of Walt Disney, but also of NBC
but
Universal.
But there's much more runway to put more parks if NBC Universal wanted to pivot that way.
To expand dramatically,
well,
you think, really?
Only in a couple, you can put them. You
know. Yeah, there's what? There's two. Right? Two million?
Two. But you could, I mean, there's nothing. Look, there's a Disney a lot in a lot of places. And, I mean, what's the matter of keeping a, why not have a place in Texas? I mean, I know that they're levered to film, but it doesn't have to be. I mean, the fact is that people think theme parks are a great buy. They are a little raised in price, but I just think that we're under theme parked in this country.
Under theme parked.
There's something else I got to worry about
here. Under theme parked. Do you like that?
Overstored.
Overstored, but under theme parked. Oh, I like that. I may use that tonight. Let me write that down.
Under theme parked.
Yeah, under theme parked. That's something to go with.
Well, Jim, you mentioned inflation and rates. Some say that tomorrow's CPI print could be historic.
Oh, it is.
If you do believe it's going to mark some kind of a top.
But this is the first time, I think, where the estimates are finally not. Yeah, look, the problem is that the estimates, you'll hear, the estimates are for 6.5. No, I mean, I think maybe the estimates, whoever makes those estimates, what a clown show. I mean, let's just accept that if this is 8 to 9, there are going to be people who say that's not sustainable, it's going to top, and they're going to look at oil. I think they're going to look at demand destruction. But the most important thing is cars.
Well, you've got used car prices down three straight months.
And that's it. And that's it. And, of course, that's actually driving down new car prices. Of course, they have semiconductor problems. But used car has been the bane of the existence. And it would really be something if they peaked.
Right. Another bit from this morning, David, on freight shipping rates. Like a 40-foot box from Shanghai to L.A. was $12,000 a few weeks ago. Now $8,000.
What did I tell you about freight? And the number of drivers. See,
yes.
Freight is peaking.
Yes.
You seem to look askance when I said
that. No, I wouldn't say that. It was a week ago that we were talking about freight and that note from the previous Friday that pressured so many of the components of the transports, for example.
Uber freight.
Then you came back with Leo Ron and you had him on Mad Money, but you were saying the same thing. And then on Friday, you noted that downgrade from Bank of America on your Mad Dash. So
yes.
I would say that I have been paying attention.
Okay, I just want to be sure because I think that if I hear freight being the reason why you didn't do well, you better like say, but I think it's going to be better because otherwise it's become an excuse for poor performance, an excuse for bad execution.
Well, look what happened to the transport.
Right, I told you the market's good except for tech. You didn't listen to me. You said we'd be safe in tech.
Marathon Man? What? No, wait, that's
Witness.
Witness, right. Witness.
Although, is it safe?
Is it safe? But now we're talking about two great actors.
Yes, we are. Dustin Hoffman and Sir Laurence Olivier.
Is it oil of clove or something he puts on his gums?
Yeah, clove.
Yes. Fascinating.
That, you know, the book is even better, the movie.
Is that true?
Goldman wrote the book,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the book's fabulous.
Yeah.
The other note we sort of let slip by was AXP, Jim. J.P. Morgan cuts it to neutral. Compelling fundamental story, now fully reflected in the multiple, since we're talking about consumer spend.
Oh, I thought that was such a fatuous downgrade. Steve Squeri's doing a great job. People are traveling like mad. T&E's coming back. He's talking about the internal, and you work on Monday and Friday, and you have to head back to the central office. But it's killing it. I would actually be wait till the end of the day, but I would be a buyer, not a seller of Express, because that company is levered to what I think is the best story out there, which is the consumer, not the enterprise.
Right. Guys, just to come back to what we started the program with today, Twitter shares are up. It looked like they might be down, but now they're up over 2%. Again, good luck trying to figure out what Elon Musk is thinking. It is not the easiest.
Twitter was so weak at 4 a.m.
And yet so much of this has been shared on Twitter, the back and forth between the company and Mr. Musk. My understanding is the communications that he has had with the company, which did began some time ago, were with CEO Parag, and then as well Brett Taylor, who's the company's chairman, as you'd expect.
Co-CEO of Salesforce.
Right, now, he's co-CEO of Salesforce. But right now, he's just the largest single shareholder of the company. He filed a deed that indicated he might buy more, he might sell,
but nothing of
great value there.
So tell us, describe the viewers at home.
He's no longer bound by any...
So what can you do? Can you buy 20?
He's no longer bound by any agreement as a result of having potentially joined the board.
Now.
He could be increasing his stake. We don't know.
Is the homeless?
We will know fairly quickly because if he does increase his stake by at least 1%, he's got to update his 13D in a timely manner. Of course, we spent plenty of time talking about his failure to have done that previously and, in fact, filed the wrong form, a G, which indicated a passive stake. This never was passive. Certainly doesn't seem it now. But as for understanding his intentions here, very difficult to do so.
Incredible. It's an incredible story because, most of the time when people join boards, Carl, it's like, okay, pro forma. Not this guy. I mean, maybe he didn't want to serve. Maybe they told him he had to go to the meetings. Can you imagine?
Yeah. I mean, it was contingent on a background check.
He had a code.
Lisa Agarwal said.
He spent a lot of money of his liquid. He's enormously wealthy, but of his liquid funds, there's a lot of it is now in Twitter.
Well, let's see what happens. I wouldn't sell Twitter.
Yeah.
By the way, got Warner Brothers Discovery now open, up about 2% here.
That's incredible.
Ticker WBD. Quick reminder here, you can always get in on the CNBC Investing Club with Cramer. Sign up and find out more at cnbc.com/join the club, or as always, use the QR code on your screen. Before we go to break, let's take a look at treasuries and bonds. As we said, the 10-year did get a 2.76 this morning. As we get some action on the long end today, that's the real story. We'll be right back. That Shanghai lockdown drawing more attention to Chinese makers of EVs. NIO, of course, going to suspend some production, trying to hike some prices, but shares down about 5% as we're getting some broad-based weakness out of the China vehicle sales for the month of March, down about 11%. We'll get stopped trading with Jim in a moment. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
I want to reference a small piece of research from Truist. Marathon Oil meeting highlights continued strong recovery of capital. The reason I say this is because if the oils go down today off the price of crude, I want you to buy them. I want you to buy them because these companies are not stopping. They are keeping with their discipline. They've never done this before, and it's a remarkable thing. So don't get dissuaded by the price of crude. They're a great place to be.
We did get a pretty good uptick on Friday of Baker Hughes' rig count.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They want to drill more because they're finally, they feel like they can make a ton of money. And Rusty Brazil was on from RBN. They're still talking about $30. Is the average price. So think about what they're making. And a lot of their hedges are coming off. This is the group to buy if you think you want, if you want value.
How about tonight?
Okay, I've got Matt Boss. He had his great, really great conference last week, and he's going to surprise you with the positive nature of the consumer, whether it be the TJX's of the world or whether it be the major department stores. But certainly, people have to recognize that he thinks the consumer is alive and well, and I really think that adds to another group that's positive. And don't forget, defense is very positive. I like Raytheon. So there's a lot to like, except for tech.
Did you see the Barron's piece where Costco is rivaling Amazon as the most richly valued retailer?
Amazing. Costco, isn't it interesting? Costco, the highest paid of people. Amazon struggling to not be unionized. By the way, Howard Schultz back with a vengeance, having meetings, doesn't want to do TV. Certainly no buyback. I think it's, you know, that was a wave of basically, we're done giving it to the rich. It was Robin Hood. Robin Hood. Howard Schultz is Robin Hood.
Yeah. Well, Robin Hood's not doing so well.
No, that's different Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Jim, we'll see at 6.
Matt, I love this show.
It's the best. It actually literally is the best.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.